Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Villains, what is the crack, and welcome back to For the Love of Pomegranate podcast. Neil and Paddy coming to you again with the Leeds preview. It feels like we're, I don't know, Paddy, but I know we've actually only played Leeds once this year, but Jesus, it feels like we've spoken about Leeds more than any other team.
I think they've spoken about us more than any other team as well. We're living rent free in their heads, I think.
Well, on Twitter anyway, yeah. But I don't like the that's a completely different world in itself. But it just feels like we seem to have been going back to the Villa Park defeat an awful lot.
Yeah.
Showcasing it probably as maybe up until the West Ham game. Maybe not even the West Ham game. Yeah, up until recently would have been one of our worst performances, if not easily our worst performance of the year. But we get a chance at the weekend to make things right against the Leeds team, who are, you know, they're beginning to climb the table again. They're in 10th place. They are, I think they're only about 3 points behind us, maybe 2 points behind us. 1 point behind us, would you believe? Only 1 point behind us.
Two games in hand.
Yeah, we have two games in hand. Yeah. They have 11 wins, 2 draws, and 12 losses to our 11 wins, 3 draws, and 9 losses with 2 games in hand, as we say. But those games in hand, Paddy, they don't guarantee you anything. And this for me is a game I think Dean Smith has to look at getting points on the board in this game. Obviously, we're looking for a win, but you know, I think we're in the territory now for the next couple of weeks of not lose games, because you know, there's a couple of questions being asked about Aston Villa at the moment.
There is, and there's going to be a lot of questions asked about us on Saturday with the way the Leeds play ball. So, we're on a hiding to nothing on Saturday. I'm not particularly looking forward to it, I'm not going to lie. I've no great love for Leeds. In fact, I bloody hate them, but that's besides the point. It's going to be a war. I believe they'll get stuck into us early on. I think for some reason they blame us for that. The slagging over the goal that Bielsa gave us in inverted commas last season or 2 seasons ago, and they're still going on about it. I just don't get it. But look, whatever it is, leave them at it, because I couldn't give a shit about them, to be honest. But there's a lot of people asking questions about us now and how we're going to react without Jack. But I think with or without Jack, we're going to have our work cut out for us on Saturday. it's going to be a different high octane game than what we're used to, and we can't afford to go behind in a game like this, because once you go chasing the game as Southampton did last night, you just get punished. And you know, two breakaway goals and the game is over, and that's just how it works. Now they've got problems of their own. I'm sure we'll get to it. They've got some injuries, so that's helped us slightly as well. But there's a lot of selection headaches now for both sides. But the only one that really concerns me is the selection headache that Dean Smith is going to have.
And Paddy, I think you've answered all the questions that I had already in that little monologue. A couple of little pieces there. You know, you mentioned that we can't afford to lose an early goal or to lose a goal at all, really, to be chasing the game. And you referenced Southampton last night as well, 100%. That for me leads me to believe, or should lead me to believe, that we go into this with a more cautious mindset. Jack Grealish isn't going to be there. We've spoken about Marvellous Nakamba. We've spoken about Jacob Ramsey. We've spoken about Barkley. We've spoken about Sansa. We've spoken about McGinn. What we're looking at here, what I'm trying to get at here, is I think we're going to see a shut up shop in midfield. And I think that we're going to take the approach of Luis, Nakamba and McGinn in there. And we're going to be waiting on Sanson, and we're going to be waiting on Jacob Ramsey. Much in all, as we were very, very high in those two guys at the weekend after the Leicester game, thinking that maybe they could come in. I just don't think this is the game for it. The more and more I think about it, the more I don't think it's the game for it. And I think he'll go with a shutdown in midfield over putting in maybe a Kane, Hayden, Kessler in right back for El Mohamedi. Because once again, looking back on the game, and I know this is going to sound stupid because it kind of is stupid to say it, but El Mohamedi was at fault for definitely one goal, probably for the other goal, but he didn't do much wrong after that.
No. So, no, you know, we went through that, didn't we? It was a decent enough performance other than that. I'm inclined to agree with you with the shutting up shop. I can't see this being what we have been doing with either a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1. I envisage a 4-4-1-1 is how we'll defend.
Something like a 4-1-4-1 or something like that.
I do believe that McGinn will start. I think Luis and Nakamba will start also. And I think Trezeguet will be a vital part on that right-hand side. And I think he'll defend a bit deeper than he normally does. And I do think his big selection headache then is who he plays in front of that four. If they are in front of them, you know.
And I said we might be waiting for Morgan Sanson, but the more I think about it, the versatility of a Morgan Sanson flying around there, not keeping his positional balance and left-hand side, being like Jack Grealish, you know, allowing him to float in and around there. Mm. Like Jack Grealish of maybe 18 months ago, not so much since we got into the Premier League, who's pretty much hugged the touchline and stayed out there.
Yeah.
If I'm the manager, I'm giving Sanson a bit of free rein over there.
Yeah.
I honestly don't think I'm playing Bertie in this game.
I don't think you're playing Sanson in this game. I envisage Sanson making his full debut on Wednesday against Sheffield United.
So you're playing El Ghazi?
Pardon?
Are you playing El Ghazi? So
no. I'll play Luis and Nakamba in the middle, mm-hmm. Flanked by McGinn and Trezeguet. That kind of as a four when we don't have the ball, and then. Obviously, Watkins will be up front, and I think just in front of that four, we'll be looking at either Ramsey or Barkley. I think it will be Ramsey.
Jesus, I think I might have to break my phone so that I can't even be tempted to look at Twitter if Barkley has started. No, look, I'm with you, Paddy. I he's not been throwing the scrap heap for me. Absolutely not being thrown in the scrappy, but I think we can facilitate him as a passing midfielder, as a passive midfielder, should I say, that stays up there. And actually, you know what? That's a bit of sense to what you've just said there. A small bit of sense. So if we go 4-1 or 4-4-1-1 even and play him in like the false, Regista, Triquaterista, I don't know. Just play him in the hole. There, we'll see what happens, because he does like to stay more central anyway. He should just not be like, if we're going to be waiting on him to track back and to put in tackles, he just doesn't do it. So there could be something in that. And I don't think that we should get, I don't think that we should get up in arms if he is picked in this game. Like we're saying here, I'm saying I don't pick him. You're saying you don't pick him, but I'm not going to be surprised if he's picked.
Yeah, I think the game that's in it, he probably will play. But we don't know what kind of humble apologies were made for his performance or his performance as he walked away on Sunday, and we're not bringing that up again. But there's a lot of work to be done to marshal that midfield for Leeds. There's a lot of people in there and a lot of pace. It, you know, Dallas and Klitsch can hurt you. They'll score goals.
Klitsch
is out, isn't he? Sorry.
Yeah. So Klitsch is out. Strike.
Yeah. Strike is out as well.
Yeah. No, Strike is there. Strike is there. Or Strike is the, as the commentator was calling him. It's kind of like, like if anybody knows Irish football, that's the way Brian Kerr would tell you to take a shot. in that accent. Yeah.
Sorry, it's Cock. It's Cock that I'm confusing him with. Cock is.
I thought you were insulting Brian Kerr there for a minute, Paddy.
I never.
I was going to say footballing royalty, Brian Kerr.
Yeah. Well, that will change up the midfield. I don't know who they'll put in there. It's a difficult one. They brought on Costa.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, yesterday. Jeez, I'm losing track of my days now. Again, the subs to bring on, you know, Alioski and Pablo Hernandez come off the bench, you know. There's plenty there. There's a lot of kids going to be sitting on the bench for them, but there's plenty there that can come on and change the game and start the game. But, you know, they're a little bit light. Poveda, Phillips, Klitsch, Cock, Rodrigo, Baradi, and Forshaw, as we said, we said off air was long term, so we don't know much about him anyway. But you know, they kind of play a 3-5-1-1, which can be a 3-3-3-1 at times. It can be a 5-3-1-1. It just, you know, he's so unpredictable, but then again predictable at the same time, because you know what you're going to get. You're going to get 11 bodies in your face and no space to play ball, and that's the way it's going to be for 90 minutes. And you know, he has them so well tuned, so fit, so agile. You know, they're a good footballing team, as much as it kills me to say it. And I'm quite happy with where they are in the league, just sitting in behind us, and I don't want that to change at the weekend, because it absolutely baffles me that, you know, that we're sitting in our position, and the media are Leeds darlings, you know, they're like, oh, you know.
Look, I'll tell you, the reason it's there is huge fan base, being outside of the Premier League for so long, and in fairness, Bielsa is a banger of a manager. He's a very good manager. Like, see what he did with Chile, basically brought a country off its knees, more or less, in footballing terms, and created some good footballers, you know, and it put a lot of people in the shop window. Like, I really think Barcelona are probably looking at themselves in the mirror at the moment going, why the hell did we take Koeman? Why didn't we just go and, like, why couldn't we have at least made an approach to Bielsa? I don't know whether we would have left. He's a bit of a madman, you know. He might have wanted to stay at Leeds. And look, who's to say this? He doesn't want to finish out his project here, even though he's on a one-year rolling contract, I think, at Leeds all the time. But I think that's why. Look, I can understand that the media wanting that. It's been 16 years since they were in the Premier League, and they obviously, one big thing I think is they need Leeds. They need to pump Leeds up this year as well. I'll go back on that. Not to pump them up as in artificially pump them up. They've been pretty good. They've been very exciting. But remember, they are also a natural enemy of a Manchester United. So it allows Sky, it allows BT to create yet another derby, another Super Sunday, another matchup, another talking point, another fixture for people to look towards. Whereas, unfortunately, You know, Aston Villa doesn't seem to hold that. We don't seem to have that many grudge matches going on at the moment.
We've been down recently, and all the teams geographically around us are yo-yo clubs, with the exception of Wolves that have a bit of stability. But yeah, it's not the same. It's not the same. Well, you know, having been at derbies against Birmingham, the hatred that's there. I bet they wish they were able to show a couple of them every year. But anyway.
Jesus, definitely. Is it really a rivalry between ourselves and Birmingham anymore? It's been so long since they've been competitive. I didn't know. I'll throw that one out. Is it really a rivalry? Anyway, not to jinx anything. But no, yeah. So look, as I say, I can understand why Leeds get the white glove treatment from the media, and that's fine. I don't really care. I'm not one of these people that needs Sky Sports to tell me Villa are good anymore. I did want it at the start of the season. And it's not just because we were winning, but I'm happy enough. I'm happy enough forming my own opinion.
Well, just to finish what I was getting to there was that we're flying well below the radar.
Oh, yeah.
And Leeds are flying below us, and I'm quite happy with that. So the less pressure on us, the better. When they're talking about, you know, how great Leeds are, everybody completely glosses over the fact that we've done a million times better than we did last season. You know, we're possibly one win away from being guaranteed safety with whatever 15 games to go. I think we're safe anyway with what we have, because we've surpassed what we had last season. So I don't think there's anything to worry about there. But, you know, I like when we're not getting the headlines, but sometimes it just irks me that they gloss over the fact that we've had a really good season and we've taken some scalps that we haven't done previously. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you may have a point there. I listened to a podcast today all about derby games and how much it means to have people for the likes of Sky Sports and those that have derbies on a regular basis, and they really live for the so-called derby weekends when they put Liverpool against Man U, even though that everything's a derby. And then they put Brighton and Crystal Palace as a derby.
Makes no sense. They will rewrite history and say Villa and Newcastle is a derby when it is.
They'll gam that on then as well when it comes up to that game, no doubt, and talk
Steve
about
Bruce
the
derby and stuff.
But
it doesn't really matter anyway, I suppose, because yes, we were having a good season. Leeds are having a good season. West Ham are having the best season out of the three of us. They're definitely the ones that everyone should be having the, having the glaring eye at, because they're playing absolutely great stuff at the moment. And they don't seem to look like they're going to stop at any time soon. The Leeds piece, just on the Leeds team, Paddy,
mm-hmm.
the players that they're missing. Clich and Shackleton. Shackleton came on early, Strike came off, I think, against us. Actually, he did. And Calvin Phillips was missing, if I'm not mistaken, against us. And did Strike play in the... Strike, I think, played in the kind of holding midfield role, and they took him off at halftime, and he'd been booked. They might have taken him off halfway through the first half, and they brought on Shackleton. And what it allowed him to do was Shackleton and Clich then literally made the midfield tick. I thought Matthias Clich was absolutely outstanding that day against us. I'm mentioning those two guys is they're going to be missing. You know, their energy, their hassling ability, their harrying ability, their winning back of the ball. I think Clich, I can't remember really. I remember him being absolutely fantastic. So I'm not going to be sad to see the two of those not starting. Obviously, Calvin Phillips is an England international. Not going to be sad to see him not starting. Although, if he started at centre half, I might be, you know. He's played okay at centre half, but he's definitely a defensive midfielder. Like, they call him the Yorkshire Pirlo for a reason. He just fills a gap in centre half. And then Rodrigo as well, obviously Spanish international. So to be without those four guys, I think, is a massive plus for us. And Tyler Roberts played pretty well at the weekend. You know, he was involved in absolutely everything that happened. Bamford is who he is, although to be fair, I would hope that Aston Villa wouldn't have that massive gaping hole between their right centre back and their right back like they did for Bamford's first goal. That was horrendous defending from Southampton, which isn't like them, to be honest with you.
No.
Bednarek was walking on thumbtacks for the whole game last night. He didn't know what the hell he was doing, whether he was coming or going. And that's because of, I suppose, the ability of the likes of Rafinha, Harrison, the early balls that they deliver. The ball comes straight down the middle sometimes. It goes directly out to the wings. They're a very multiple type team. And, you know, I suppose really... It's going to be a difficult game. But if they do line up with the likes of... You know, Alioski, Cooper, Ayling, Llorente, Rafinha, Strike, Dallas, Harrison, Tyler Roberts, Bamford. They're going to be well drilled. You know, so and then when you look at our team, the more I've been talking in the podcast, so the more I've been listening to you, I think we will see Barkley. I think we will see Barkley at the top, at the head of it, and there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. Mm-hmm. Huge pressure on him. And I think we see him. And there's going to have, like, if he doesn't perform, there's going to be a lot of questions asked.
Well, there is. And like I alluded to the Sheffield United game, I think that could come at a really good time for us to get Sanson and Ramsey in there together to start games, you know, and see how they get on. I would... You know, it's hard to say I won't play back. Like, we still haven't spoken about the fact that Jack hasn't been completely ruled out yet either, because we haven't heard anything from the coaching team. So we're just assuming that the injury is bad enough that he won't be playing on Saturday. And who knows, he probably won't, but we can't completely rule him out either. But I think on experience alone and the game that it is, I think Barkley being there with a job to do.
Yeah, it would be interesting if Jack was right and you played him in that central role with just basically himself and Watkins buzzing around up top.
Wouldn't it
just... Jesus, that's nice. That's nice to think of. And have a midfield four of Trezeguet, Nakamba, Luiz, McGinn. And played as a four. Played as a bank of four across the middle.
That's what I'm suggesting we do anyway. But... Is he going to do it? Probably not. He doesn't really deviate from what he has been doing all along. Although, you know, Leeds, to be fair to them, destroyed us the first day. So we have to be more drilled and cute to them and cute to what they can change it out. Who was the guy that came on the wing? Not Shackleton. The last time we played came on very early.
Well, Shackleton, yeah.
Shackleton,
yeah.
He absolutely destroyed Matty Cash out there.
Yeah.
So we just got to be cute about it. And, you know, there's a whole lot of work going on behind the scenes this week. And it's probably great that we have a week to get through all this work that's going to need to be done. And we're going to be fit and we're going to need to be visibly at the races and mentally at the races to deal with this team. You know, they played a lot different. They played with a four against us the last time, with Dallas playing a lot deeper right back.
Yeah.
And Ayling played centre back, if memory serves me correct.
Did. And I think he'd probably play centre back again.
Yeah.
Maybe right there, we'll move out.
Took Strike off very early because he picked up a yellow card.
Mm-hmm.
Which at the time I kind of sniggered at. But turned out to be a masterstroke because they absolutely destroyed us with the sub they brought on.
We were on top before that, you know.
We were. We were quite good early on. And then it was, as you say, it was Shackleton that came on and he just changed the game. Like, that was very early on. That was 20, 25 minutes into the game as well. It's going to be a tough ask. I would be more than happy with a point this weekend. And that's just fear plus worried about Jack not being there and what way this is going to be, even though obviously I want to go and win the bloody match. But do I think it's possible? Probably not the way we're playing at the moment. So I would take a point here and now.
I'm the same. I am the same. I think that we will go into this heavily underdog, heavy underdogs the weekend.
I think so, yeah.
I think we're going to this, people expect. I think the bookies will probably have us maybe 2-goal underdogs. I just don't agree with it, but I think every game is a shootout, even though we're playing in, we've got kind of our bad run of things at the moment, but it's you know, I think that we can put it up to most teams. I'm actually just trying to see if I can find the odds here.
3-1 for a win. We're 3-1 to win the game.
3-1 to win the game.
3-1 for a draw. And 1-3 on our lead, from what I'm looking at here.
I'm not sure. But look, that only makes it better for us if we're going to put a few pounds in at the weekend, doesn't it? Those type of odds. I'm to be honest with you, I'm a small bit distracted because I am thinking about what happens if Jack Grealish is fit. I'm really thinking about it. I'm going, Jesus. The more I think about it, I think that would be a very good foil for this Leeds team because, you know, it's look, Alioski lines up at left back. He's just not going to play a left back. There'll be ailing there, ain't there? Cooper will keep the house clean at home. Alioski will push forward with Harrison. With Dallas will be in the middle of midfield probably as well. And it's just going to be so much, like, I hate using that phrase. It's a very, very Americanized phrase, but they have a multiple attack, as in they can come from different angles, different, and different spaces. But, you know, it would be difficult to play through that bank of four of Trezeguet, Luiz, Nakamba, McGinn. And then you have your out ball to Jack Grealish and Ali Watkins because, you know, there's a lot of movement up there between the two of them, and they could really wreak havoc across that front line. And even, you know, Jack could play in a 4-4-2. He could be Francesco Totti up there, you know.
It's 12 games since Leeds had a draw.
Both time from, isn't it?
That's exactly what I thought. Look, I'm sure, I know for a fact that Dean Smith will be going out to try and win the match. He wants 3 points. And I'm not copping out here saying I want to draw. I don't want to draw. I want to win the bloody thing, and I want to win it well. But I think a draw is probably, on paper, a fair result for us this weekend. I think we'd be happy with it. And I think, you know, with 2 games the week after that, we could possibly get more points from. So it's definitely the harder of the 3 games. We got Sheffield and Wolves coming up as well. Who, well, fairness to Sheffield, they've played a lot better in recent weeks, but I think it's one we should win. We've beaten Wolves already, so I should hope we'd take points off them again. But this one's occupying my mind because I don't like Leeds. That's just the way it is. I want us to win, but in the back of my mind, I think I'd be happy with a draw.
Yep. I think I'm the same. I'm in the mode whereby to play ourselves back in form, I think we're in a let's not lose situation. Yeah. Losing games back to back is never good. So let's not lose is my motto for this game. And you know, keep the points coming in because there's nothing guaranteed with those two with those two games in hand that we have left. Well, I suppose there is, like Sheffield United, we should really be expecting maybe something from that or looking to go there. But, you know, Spurs, I wouldn't be too hopeful of maybe going to Spurs or going to that game and expecting anything out of it. I'd be hopeful we might get something out of it, but I wouldn't be putting, you know, the points preemptively in the win column there for that one at all. Yeah. So we need to start picking up points again, keep trundling towards the 40 mark, then see if we get to the 52 mark, yeah. 55, 56 mark. If we could get another 20 points over the course of the rest of the season, 56 points could get you into Europe.
Good bit to go before we have to worry about Spurs, in fairness. So, yeah. You know, we get through this weekend with Sheffield, Wolves and Newcastle, all winnable the way those teams have been played. I'm not particularly worried about Spurs either. It's called a spade a spade. They haven't been playing well. And I think if you can marshal Harry Kane, I think you can get something out of them as well. Like, we haven't played them this season, so it's hard to judge. But not overly worried about it. As I said, this weekend is the big one. And that was something strange as well last night. They're back playing with the white ball early. Where did that come from?
What do you mean?
I had to go back and check at the weekend. You normally don't get the white ball back until the 1st of March. But they have the white ball back.
Teddy, you're a mine of information.
There you go.
I never knew that. I didn't even realise they weren't playing with a white ball.
They wear a yellow... They play with a yellow ball from November to the end of February. And then they switch back to the white ball. But the white ball appeared at the weekend. I noticed it last night and then had to go back and look at the highlights from the weekend of the Villa game, and they had the white ball. So I never noticed it.
What's the thought process behind it, considering the pitches of under pitch heating now and there's no snow in it? Is it just see it in the dark?
Maybe. Darker evenings, I don't know. It's just always been the winter ball. So I guess if there is snow, they don't have to train for a couple of days with the yellow ball to get used to it. They know they're going to be playing with it anyway.
Makes sense.
It's probably just a marketing thing to sell more balls.
Oh, Paddy, 100% is. I was just trying to be nice there. I was going to say, yeah, it makes sense. All that was going through my head was, Jesus, do you know what? I can't see the ball. It's the fucking thing that's been kicked. It's the thing done by people's feet. That's what you're supposed to get. That's probably my simplistic mind. Yeah,
I know you were looking at me going, why is he bringing this up? What's the relevance?
Yeah, I genuinely didn't realise they were playing with a white ball at the weekend. And there's me going, right, I can tell you exactly what formational setup is at a corner. I can try and figure that out. And then I'm going, I'm doubting my sanity going, white ball, they didn't play with a white ball at all. Like, I just didn't notice it. I don't know.
I'm going to insert a smutty joke there now, but I'll just leave it.
yeah, it's a family podcast. It's a family podcast. In amongst all the swearing, it's a family podcast. But so we're kind of both coming down on the side of draw at this week for this weekend. I'd be happy with it.
Yeah,
I would be very happy with it. And
I think there'll be goals. All right, I'm hoping it's not 2-2 or 3-3, but. I'm not sure my heart will be able for that, but I'm going 1-1 anyway. That's my pick.
Like sometimes we talk about 2-2, 3-3 draws and stuff like that, but some draws are very seldom 2-2. You know, it's seldom 2-2. Draws are getting less and less in the Premier League anyway as well, especially in around the middle teams.
Mm.
So a draw would be kind of a novelty. We've only had 3, they've only had 2 this season. So you know, what seldom would be great, I think, this weekend. And I think both teams would probably be looking at this and say, right, a draw is a nice point to get in this game. So I'm going to go 1-1 draw as well. Obviously dependent. I will be putting my mortgage on Aston Villa if Jack Grealish is playing. Just not because I think Villa should beat Leeds, but my God, I think I'd do it out of just complete and utter excitement. and happiness, and then I'd have to face the Piper then when Villa draw 1-1, and I might be looking for a coach to stay on, Paddy, if that's the case. But yeah, as I say, there might be no podcast. I might have to sell the podcast, lads, if that's the case. But my financial woes are for another day, definitely for another day. I think we're gonna leave it there, Paddy. I know we mentioned actually before we do. Actually, no, we're not going to leave it there because we have... did you mention there was a time change to the Newcastle game? We do our best work Sunday, 7:30.
Friday at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Friday the 12th of March at 8 o'clock, Newcastle.
Yeah, and then
the following week when we do our best work, we play Spurs at 7:30 on a Sunday night, which gives me a bit of confidence, but we'll see.
We'll see is right. Also, I want to bring up and look, a youth player playing with Walsall at the moment, Tyreek Wright, from Cork here in Ireland. Scurrilous, absolutely disgraceful abuse he received online. Just don't think, not even that he's just from Cork or anything like that, but like every week after every game, you see this harsh shit online with people like just disgusting people saying disgusting things to another human being. You know, this guy seemed to have outed himself online saying that he was only a 14-year-old kid, but he said some absolutely vile things to Tyreek Wright. Aston Villa have come out in defence of Tariq Wright, so of Walsall. Yeah. Regardless of this kid's age, this kid needs to be dealt with, absolutely dealt with to the force of the law. I don't care. I don't care what age you are. You know exactly what you're doing at that age.
Absolutely. And
just throw the book at these absolute dickheads.
Yeah. No matter what education they're getting, it's not working. So I think the only deterrent now is, no matter what age you are, if you put this vial online, you can look at a lifetime ban from football. And that's
remove a toe. I'm telling you, remove a toe, remove two toes, remove three toes. Racism is fucking unacceptable. It's absolutely unacceptable. You can stop yourself from doing it. You are the only person that says it. You are the only person that says racist things. You just don't need to do it. Like, there's no need to do it. You can, like, I don't mind if you call him a prick 55 times, but the second you bring the racial element into it, that's on you. That's the reflection on you. You've lost the argument. You are an absolute piece of absolute whatever you want to call it. And that's all I want to say about it. I'm just sick to death of seeing Axel Tuanzebe. I'm sick to death of seeing any black player that, and sometimes they don't even make any mistakes in games. And what happens if they do? It shouldn't really matter. And I'm kind of getting worked up over it now. It's a disgusting thing. Whoever, like, if this guy is only 14, I don't care what age he is. Haul him over. Absolutely. You know, fine him and let him pay it off until he's 50 years of age. Yeah. I don't care. Like, it's, you right and wrong is right and wrong, you know. Just don't do it. And if anybody out there is listening to this, and maybe you're thinking about doing it sometime, just don't do it, because when I become lord and ruler, you'll be losing toes for doing it. Okay. Yeah. start at the big toe, and we work our way outwards.
It's very unfortunate for the, for, like, he's only a kid himself, you know, learning his trade and to have to deal with that kind of thing. And like, it's difficult for a young Irish kid to go over there. Anyway, and you know, there's an element of racism on that side of it as well that hasn't even been mentioned. You know, the likes of what we've read in the last week from James McLean, which, regardless of what you think of James McLean, isn't acceptable either. So, it comes in many forms. So, hopefully, the young lad can put it in the back of his mind and continue playing his football, continue to grow. Because, you know, I've said it before in the podcast, I have great hopes for this kid. He looks like a really good footballer. So he's been put out there to Walsall to toughen up. And, you know, and this to be thrown at him in the process of having to go and play a tough standard of football with men and then be abused like that is just unacceptable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think we will bring it into the podcast because I've got a bit hot under the collar there. And, you know, that is, look, it's just not the way I would ever raise anything. I wouldn't want to be associated with that, and I wouldn't want to be associated with, but I wouldn't want to be associated with not calling it out either. So not virtue signaling or anything here. It's just I'm so sick of it. It just needs to stop, you know, from every single club. Anybody in our club needs to stop it. Anybody in every other club needs to stop it. It's just mindless. It makes no sense.
And hopefully the social media networks will start to see sense and clamp down on this kind of thing and bring into law that they'll need identification to open these accounts, because it's the only way to stop it. And if they don't do it, maybe a boycott from players and stuff like that down the line is the way to go. Who knows? We're not going to change the world here, Neil. We're just not condoning that kind of behavior.
Yeah. But it's a shame to finish a podcast needing a strong cup of tea with about 8 sugars in it to try and calm you down.
And a few chocolate biscuits, you'd be fine. A
couple of Jaffa cakes. Yeah, grand after that. Other biscuits are available. Or sorry, other cakes are available, should I say. Anyway, we're off, lads. We'll see you again after the game this weekend. As I say, we're hoping for a draw. Or sorry, we're fully confident that Villa can go there and get a draw, hoping for a win. It's a big game for Villa this weekend, and get some points on the board before our games in the hand kick in. As always, you can find Paddy on at Villa Paddy. You can find me on at Love McGrath Pod. Thanks so much to absolutely everybody for listening. We're approaching the 2,000 followers mark actually on Twitter now that we speak of Twitter. So if you know of anybody out there, you just grab their phone, you know, follow us on their phone or whatever, subscribing to the podcast. It's been a long time since I've asked you to commit grand larceny in the name of the podcast. But, you know, if you do, you know, if you are socially distanced, actually, if you can rob someone's phone from about two meters and just sign them up and then give them back their phone again. I'm not saying you got to hold on to it or anything. Got to give it back to them once so that they can listen to the podcast, obviously. That would be great. But thanks, everybody, and thanks for everything you do. And I suppose all that's really left to say is here's to a good weekend, hopefully, in Yorkshire for Aston Villa. And all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.